Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You're listening to episode number 38. I sat down at the Prescott Valley Event Center, formerly Tim's Toyota Center in Prescott Valley, Arizona, to talk with Gary Spiker, who has a very, very optimistic outlook for the event center, which just recently, in the last few days, has gone under bankruptcy protection so that they can stay open. So contrary to the rumor mill, they are not being closed. They are up and running and have some great events coming up. We talked to Gary about that, and he lets us know how we as community members can support the arena, which in turn supports the local surrounding businesses, the big chains, as well as a lot of the local mom-and-pop smaller businesses that feed off the activities that happen in and around downtown Prescott Valley and the whole region, actually. All the events are intertwined, and we all benefit economically from visitors to the event center and the surrounding businesses. So listen in to Gary as he talks about the future of the center. And then we join Catfish Atelli, Satish Catfish Atelli, a good friend of mine, who talks about an upcoming event this Saturday, the Prescott Memorial Stair Climb. That is an event that it's a nationwide event that the event center is partaking in locally to honor and remember the firefighters and first responders that were lost in the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and also rolls in the remembrance and honoring of our very own Granite Mountain Hotshots who were lost in the Yarnell Hill fire in 2013. This event was organized to honor fallen firefighters everywhere with a focus on the 9/11 and the Granite Mountain Hotshots. So we'll listen in on how you can support that and other events here in Prescott Valley. So Catfish also takes time to recall his participation in the Granite Mountain 19 memorial service that was here in 2013 at the event center, how that was organized and some of the inner workings of that memorial service that was attended by dignitaries from around the world, including Vice President Joe Biden and firefighters from around the globe. I was there for that memorial service in the building, and it was very touching, very emotional, as was Catfish's recalling of that event for our Mile High Show today. So stick around. Hope you enjoy it. It was enjoyable to sit and talk with both Gary and Catfish at the Prescott Valley Event Center. This intro is being recorded in the Mile High Show mobile studio, which that's what I call it. What everybody else calls it is that minivan driving down the freeway. So enjoy. Don't forget to visit milehighshow.com for info on our sponsors and on our past shows. Also, please visit iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn, wherever you download your podcasts, and give us a rating, give us a review. Let us know you support the Mile High Show. We hope you do anyway. And stick around and listen to my talk with Gary Spiker and Catfish on the Mile High Show. Now I better pay attention to the road. Just to test it. So, Gary, what's new?
Hey, Matt. Good to see you. Yeah. Hanging in there, huh?
So I haven't been in here in a while. I was talking to Scott earlier. It's been about 6 months since I've even been in the building.
Well, you know, things have been positive since then.
Positive. You know, yeah.
You know, you haven't been in the building. We've been booking
things. So everybody's booking. You got that Led Zeppelin reunion.
Hey, that's coming around.
Tell me what's going on. What's up with the reunion? Or with the reunion. What's up with the arena?
Hey, you know what? We're happy. You know, the building is going through a reorganization, and that'll take, let's say, 90 to 120 days. And after that, things will be cleaned up. People will be wanting to invest in us again. Things will be clean. So we can look for a tenant then or a hockey team at that point.
Now, one thing that, our area, we're a small town. We're small town folk out here. It's not like we're a big metro area.
Correct.
But there's a lot going on. There's still a lot of commerce going on. There's a lot of activity. I was very pleasantly surprised just coming up the elevator looking at that chart that's posted there. A lot of events coming in. We'll talk about a couple of those coming up. But one of the downfalls, one of the problems with small town areas like our quad Cinco City area, whatever you want to call it, is the rumor mills. Rumors, just people hear things, they'll read the first sentence or a couple of comments online or the first sentence of a news story, and they'll make up their mind, and then before you know, things are going on. The event center has not closed.
No, we're not closed.
You are operating. You're a little smaller in staff than obviously what it is when we're fully booked and
have
full
tenants. Well, we're down on some part-time, but we're doing pretty well. We're all still here. Catfish here, Scott's here, Barb's here.
So we
can
say that right off the bat.
That's right.
You guys, the stories that were in the paper recently about the reorg.
Correct.
And the those are more of a business and administrative things. The center is open for business?
Yeah, center is running as normal. We have things almost every weekend during the year. We try not to compete with the 4th of July.
Yeah.
We have in the past, but some things haven't gone well.
Yeah.
And then last week we had a cancellation. Once in a while we get a cancellations. But on weekends, we have stuff every weekend except two or three during the year.
What are some that are popping up?
We got the dog show coming up. And that's going to be a great dog show.
And that's a huge event in this area. We're real big equine, ag, and canine.
Yeah.
Dog culture out here is absolutely huge. I know
Chino
for years had that big thing out at Old Home Manor that would draw people in from all over the country.
Right. We have, and events like that are just good for the whole town.
Yeah.
I mean, people are eating at the local restaurants. They're shopping at our stores.
Talk a little bit about that, because people think, the hockey team, now dark, when they were running here, people just thought, well, it's hockey at the arena. When we had – I even hate to bring it up – when we had football.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But when we have things here, whether it be concerts, shows, benefits, shows like the dog, like the dog thing
Mannheim
that's coming
Steam up. Manheim Steamroller's coming up. But let's just take Elevate that we just had.
Yeah.
There were folks here from Alaska to New York. And they've already booked for next year. So when those folks come to town, all the hotel rooms get gone.
The trickle down is what I was getting.
They're
at,
eating
the restaurants.
All the restaurants here. They're shopping across the street. They're in the local stores. I mean, down to everything. Somebody had to have their car started. Somebody had a flat tire. I mean, every place. That I can think of gets service. I had somebody here actually from Elevate needed a dentist. So so it's kind of like hey, they're gone from she was here from Alaska and needed somebody, and we fixed her up, and she's quite happy.
Yeah. So that the whole trickle down effect of how dollars change hands from one to another, it's not just renting out or having a tenant in the arena.
Correct.
It's the food service. All the folks that I know, the friendly faces I see that work as ushers, security, serving food, when people come up, whether it be from Chino, Baghdad, or even as far as Anthem in the Valley, they're gassing up across the street before they go. They're grabbing a bite to eat before or after. They're grabbing some coffee at the Circle K before they hit the highway. So the support that these events need from the surrounding community and even far-flung areas – really goes putting money back in the pockets right. of the folks that operate businesses that are satellite around here.
Well, even if the building is – if I can break even, sometimes I'm happy because of what it brings into the community, because our bonds are paid for with tax dollars yeah. from this area. So by people coming to an event and staying in the hotel, eating in our restaurants, they're paying for our bonds. I mean, you know, that yeah. isn't – you know, we're not a taxing authority. It isn't public money paying for the building. It's coming from folks that use it. Yeah.
Give me the – I'm sorry. I kind of bounce all over the place. But as
you're
talking –
it's ADHD.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well, I'm trying to limit myself to only two pots of coffee a day. And I only got my 1.5 in before I left. So between that and the Adderall
wife,
patch, I got stuck on my back.
You know, your wife told me she was very happy that you got 100% on that test. And I said, well, what test? She said, well, on the adult ADHD test. Because she said, you've never had 100 before.
Yeah, I've never had 100.
No.
I was so happy with – I ate that hepatitis test the other day. I got a C.
Oh, see? Now you got an A. You got 100. Gosh, things are going good, Matt. Now you've lost your train of thought, huh?
No, I never okay. had one. Breakdown. Give me the Reader's Digest. Dumb it down for me. The little 90-second. The structure of the building. Because, again, there's people who say it's owned by so-and-so. It's owned by the town. It's owned by you. It's yeah. the Gary Spiker Arena.
Yeah.
Give me the quick little org chart of what – what this building...
You know, bonds were sold to build the building. The town does oversee the bonds and pay those bills from the tax dollars. They're not paying it. Yes, we had, the Fain Signature Group owned half the building when it went into a, a foreclosure.
Yeah.
They bought the other half, and now so they own it, which is nice. They're paying the bills. They're keeping it going. And now they're doing the reorganization so they can bring in somebody to maybe take it over, to maybe manage it. We don't know what it'll look like when the reorganization is over. But, it's not – you know, I don't own it. The city doesn't own it. And it's going well. We're filling things. And, of course, once we finish this reorganization, it'll be easier to fill things.
Because,
we've already booked, like I say, Mannheim. We're booking the Globetrotters again. We got the circus coming up.
And people, Shriner Circus.
We have AIA again. So we do the volleyball, the basketball, and that just brings
the wrestling is always a really big one in
huge.
What, February, late
Correct.
January, early February.
And then we do, a national wrestling tournament also.
Yeah.
And the local one, that Chino helps us put on.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of events
That's
going
that
on.
Battle for the Buckle,
yeah.
Chino, Bradshaw, Prescott. It's a group effort between the three schools.
And it's just always fun to come in here, and a lot of local people come in and watch that wrestling or the basketball that's going on. I see a lot of friends from around the whole area at that time. It's from dances to whatever goes on. We have graduations, of course,
Emory's got a big one.
Emory does
year.
A graduation.
Chino's been coming here
Chino,
the last couple
Bradshaw,
of years.
You know, I mean, it's... Yeah. It's just good to get people in the building. When people are in here, they see what's going on. I mean, you see down there, we have the corn toss tournaments. Those have been going on. We had 36 teams every Tuesday night for about 9 weeks. So people are in here for that. The ice will go back in this year. And
you are getting it back in.
Sure. We'll have the ice, and then that helps us to, besides the local ice skating.
The open skate.
Sure.
And that's put on by the town
rec.
Yeah,
the town does that. And I think sometimes when people hear the town's doing it, that's why they think they own certain things.
Yeah.
But we appreciate the town's support in what we do.
So, again, it goes back to that small-town mentality, that small-town culture where it's not one group, it's not one organization, it's not one company that makes something a success. It's a lot of different people, a lot of different groups, Fain Signature Group, the town chamber, the town itself, the town proper, and then all the schools that kick in and host events.
Right.
It's a lot of people pulling together to make the entire area success.
Right. And, and then we had Gabby's come in and do the food instead of a large company.
We don't want to plug Jim.
That's right. And, he lowered our prices and our sales are up. I mean, things are positive there.
We can't plug him, though, because I'm going to go over there later and I don't think I'm getting a free meal.
Well, then I'll go with you.
I'll have to hit that up.
Yeah. Tell him that
Mile High Show sponsored by Gabby's
That's
Grill
right.
again.
And, Yeah, you want a free cheeseburger. You know, I get something better than that. But anyway, no, you know, I think of when we go out and get sponsors, it's so nice to have, you know, Fan Construction, Yavapai Bottle Gas, you know, Big O Tires. Yeah. The people step up to support the events that we put on. So the local companies around here are helping us a lot. So, I mean, and that's what it takes, the whole community. And a lot of times people, why don't we have more concerts? Well, you know, I really can't afford $1 million band. You know, and even if it's 400,000 and we only get 2,500 or 3,000 people in here, you know, it's not going to cut it. So we have to, you know, try to get bands that we can afford to have in here.
Yeah. And that, I tell you, I've been to some of the bigger shows here, and I've been to some of the, what you would say, the local, where we've had couple local bands playing. We've had some local comics who have put on here. Kevin Rose, when he was here with the All Stars, some of those smaller shows with the local folk tend to be more energetic because they've got their local fan base that comes in.
You know, and then we set the stage up so like we can just, you know, so there's 1,200 or 1,500 people.
Partial arena, yeah.
So it doesn't look empty, but we can do stuff to accommodate 1,000 people and have a fun time and have people in here. And of course, then the people are seeing the advertising that the people pay for and, you know, to help support the building. So we just have to get back to the positive, but it is right now. I'm looking forward to a bright future. I think when we're finished with this reorganization, things are going to be looking up.
So, all right, give us some scoop. What, you know, are we going to have big time hockey in here again?
Well, you know, I did talk with you know, Brad Fain, and he is talking to hockey teams all the time. Yeah. There are a couple of ECHL teams that would be available.
Looking for a new home.
That are looking for a new home. So once this reorganization is over, then they would consider us. But with, you know, the old stuff hanging out there, people don't want to take that
just
risk.
Because it's tougher to make a long-term commitment when you're not sure who you're going to be dealing with on the back end.
That's right.
That could be tough.
So, and you know, and the nice thing about that, and he even mentioned the other day, you know, he owns the naming rights for the Sundogs. So, I mean, if we did get another team, we'd have to see if they want to use that name or not.
Or
so,
bring in their own. Their
or
existing.
Bring in their own. Correct. Yeah.
One of the things that some folks that you hear out in the community and online through Facebook and other places where people tend to voice their opinions, is they're kind of waiting. They go, well, let's see what's going to happen. Let's see what's going to happen. And if you're just waiting for – this is the public I'm speaking of. If the public's just waiting to see who comes in here before they start participating in the events at the arena, well, I'll go back there when we have another hockey team, or I'll go back there if we have a basketball team or something. That's really not helping the mix. You got to show that support for the AIA, the Shriners, Mannheim, this great event we got coming up this Saturday. This will be posted this afternoon.
Yes.
The 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb. The more constant and ongoing support for the events that are here, that's what's going to lure, or that's what's going to be attractive to a long-term tenant.
Right. They want to see things like that, or they, you know, they don't want to come here and not have anybody come. They want to see support.
It's a lot harder to get somebody to come and host an event in an empty arena as opposed to when you got to sit there and jockey around the weekends that are and the dates that are already booked.
And we've had some folks to where we're not allowed to discuss maybe who's in here. You know, you sign a non-disclosure or something. Yeah. But they're at some of our events because they want to see what goes on.
Yeah.
So they've been at, like, Elevate. They are coming to Mannheim. They are coming to the circus that we're having in a couple weeks. You know.
Yeah. Why would an organization, a team, a group, a consortium of money folks, why would they come in to invest in an arena, invest in an area when they come in and see an event that's not well attended? So they want to see the butts in the seats. They want to see the folks out here and enjoying themselves.
Yeah,
right?
and sometimes they come to an event like, let's just even say this corn toss.
Yeah.
And they walk around and talk to some of the people because we get some visitors for that because nobody knows who they are. And they ask them what they think about things like that. You just never know. It's kind of like, is there a, you know, my kid plays football. Is there a scout in the stadium tonight?
Yeah,
you know, and a lot of times there are. So you just never know, but that's what makes us. We do a newcomers visit. I have another group coming in. When the newcomers group visits, they bring, 50 to 70 people. And we do that once or twice a year. And the folks that are the newcomers to Prescott and Prescott Valley, they're from all over the country. Yeah. They love our area. And by getting them in the building to see this, they want to come to the event. So we have picked up a lot of new people to the area that are supporting the building.
So the best way for our local customer base, our local sports fans, our local music fans and folks that come to events, the best way for them to invest in the future of this arena is to come as much as possible to the various events.
And yeah, to show up.
And hang out, have a good time.
You know, when we do the cheerleading,
yeah.
Boy, is that a blast. I mean, it's not cheerleading like it used to be when I went to school.
It's whole production numbers.
Oh, man. It's and the people that come watch that, they're like amazed. I had no idea. But, if you like basketball, our high school basketball, when you get in those state finals, they're good games.
The most energetic and enthusiastic fans I've ever seen are – and I've covered – everything from major sporting events, Major League Baseball, NFL football, all the way down to local and youth sports, everything in between over my years of shooting pictures at events. The most fired up fans I have ever seen are when those schools from the reses come on down. It is incredible how much these parents and they bring their whole extended families and just rock the arenas. And I kind of joke around. It's probably, pouring salt in the wound. But I've mentioned it to you. I'm sure Jimmy Cabral and Catfish. But, I'm here for a high school game, over the years going, man, well, can't we get these guys coming in for a Sundogs game?
I know.
But they just get support. So fired up. And those folks then are staying at the hotels across the street.
Yeah.
Flooding fries across the street, buying groceries for the ride home and, snacks and stuff, gassing up their cars. So, again, it goes back to that trickle-down effect.
Yeah, they ask me, where's Garcia's? Do you have an Olive Garden? Where's Home Depot?
Yeah.
Those are the questions I get when the Red Schools are here, and they're here for the whole weekend. And I love when the schools from up north come down because of the family support. They bring the aunts and the uncles and the grandmas and the grandpas, and it's just nice seeing
it's the
that
whole family,
support. Family
extended and everything. A lot of especially the state championship things, when the smaller schools get in. Now, it wasn't here. It was down in the valley for a football championship a couple years ago, but Baghdad, and I was talking to a couple of friends I have. The town closed down. The entire town came down, and I'm sure it's the same for some of the smaller communities for basketball and the volleyball when they come in and just pack those whole sections. There's nobody left in the town.
No. And it's like, Bucky's is one of our supporters. Yeah. And, of course, they're on the back of our tickets. So I keep up with them a lot. And they will tell me, because they keep track of how many of those tickets come in.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you're going to go get a new card at Bucky's. You get $20. You walk in here and you pay $10 for an event, but you get 20 bucks.
You got paid $10 just to show up.
They don't need to go over there and gamble. But a lot of the folks, they'll go in there and play their $20.
Yeah.
Something to do or eat or
grab a burger,
or stay up there at the hotel, and everything gets affected. I mean, it's this building really does affect the whole community. Yeah. I talked to the new restaurant Jimmy John's, and when I was talking with their manager, one of the reasons when they invested in our community was because of the hockey. They saw hockey going on, and they wanted to be across the street. They know they would get business. Now, the hockey isn't here, but they are getting business. When I meet with them, it's like, wow, when you have an event, we have people beforehand and after. And so do all the local restaurants here in the Ed District.
And then I got a chance to talk to a lot of the visiting broadcasters. In my time, 6-7 years, I was with working with the Sundogs from all over the country. Broadcasters, coaches, trainers, players that I got to know, when they would come in here and talk about this arena, they loved coming in here because of the quality building it was and the local stuff that's around here. I traveled a couple of times to different areas. Some of those arenas were in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And
you could walk from your hotel,
yeah,
from a few hotels around here, and you know, and the restaurants are, you know, go get an orange juice and you know, whatever. But and when I visit with the managers and some of those folks, they love it here, but they also like the way they're treated by the community.
Yeah.
When they're out there and the, you know, the guys walk back and forth to the hotel or whatever, they're happy. I mean, they get treated nice.
It was a blast with when the CHL All-Star game was here a few years ago, talking with some of those folks that were around. So hopefully soon we will have, if not another hockey tenant, a tenant, ongoing tenant of some kind, bringing some world-class athletics.
And we're hoping to have two. We'd love to have two tenants. If we had two tenants, we're going to be more than successful. So we're out there doing that, hopefully, let's say in 3 months, we have some great news for folks, because then we'll be able to
talk about it. Now, Gary's smiling. He can't say anything official, but hopefully we got something on the horizon.
He can't commit to that, but gosh, we have some folks waiting for that date, let's say, and we should have some good news at the end of this.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
You betcha.
I know my son, he's just about to turn 6, and backtrack a little bit. Marco's family, Pietrangelo, when he was GM and coaching here, I would watch his kids growing up in this arena, and I used to joke around. It's just like, man, they run this place.
Yeah.
They were like little princes in their own little kingdom here. And it used to crack me up when I would see them, and then as the years went on, it didn't really register. My own son was here at games with me. I think he was about 4 months old, his first trip to the arena for a hockey game.
Well, I've only been here 5 years, but when I met your son, he was a baby.
Yeah.
He's 6 now.
He's
so
just about to turn 6.
He was 1.
And I used to, his first games were in here when I was working for the Dogs, and I didn't make the connection. I said that to somebody one time. I said, man, watching Marco's kids in here, they just run the place. And the person looks at me and goes, what are you talking about? That's your son. That's what Anthony does.
Yeah.
And every time we pass by here, we were out here for a youth football the other day, and we'll come out shopping or coming out to eat, and he'll look over and he goes, hey, Pop, is Bernie awake yet? Because we told him, he said, Bernie's taking a nap. He's not here.
That's good.
He's looking forward to something here. He loves coming to the arena. I love having him around here, of course, hanging out with me when I'm working. I get to play the big shot, walk around
is fun. I do that close-up magic stuff. But I have kids that remember that. Or I had a lady in one of the last hockey games say, now, so what do you do here? You're the magic man? And her son calls me the magic man. Well, yeah, I work here. I didn't really say it was. She says, "Oh, you just go around and do magic." Yeah, that's what I do.
I have kids
that for the 5 years I'm here, they're like, "Hey, can you do another trick?" But I look forward to watching the kids grow up.
My son has grown up in this arena the first 5 years of his life, and for his sake and for mine and for the communities, I am looking forward to soon sitting over there at where you guys hold the press conferences over there and watching you introduce a new professional team of some sort. So
I'm ready.
Hoping that happens soon. Gary, thanks for
Thank
the time.
Thank you. Thanks.
Appreciate you sitting down with me at the Prescott Valley Event Center where hopefully we will be watching some professional sports happening here very soon.
See you soon.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it. One step beyond. The first thing I wanted to talk about were my personalized Santos monogrammed coasters. I'm going to snake a couple of these because when are these from? I don't have my glasses on.
They're Brian Ray made these.
What year?
How long ago was Brian Ray here?
I don't know.
3 years, 2 years.
See, now I got to tag him in the post. I'm going to grab a few of those. My kid will like them. All right, Catfish. We already talked with Gary. I'm going to drop Gary's section in before this. So we've established. You can if you want. We established that the arena has not closed. We talked a little bit about the the pluses and challenges of living in a small town, small area, small community, the rumor mills.
You're what? Recording right now?
Yeah. What do you want? What did you want? Fanfare and a big old orchestra introduction?
Yeah.
Nobody listens to this. Sorry. You know, well, you know, as good or better than anybody, people will read, you know, an article will pop in the paper or online, and people will read the first sentence and then create the rest in their head without sure. facts and reasons. So Gary addressed some of that as far as the reorg and how that affects local community, local economy, and the need for folks to just support what's going on. And it's the whole trickle down economics, man. You know, this is a huge arena, and people start thinking, well, it's owned by people with big money, but in reality, it's supported.
A small business.
Yeah, it's supported by folks coming out to individual events. So I want to talk about this event you guys have this Saturday. Now, this is we're recording right now at the Prescott Valley Event Center. I don't even know if I said that with Gary.
You never mentioned the building we're talking about.
No, I'll do. Yeah, you know, I do my intro and outro separate.
Some generic building in Prescott Valley.
The Spiker Event Center is what we're. I think the new logo should be a very large catfish, a cartoon picture, kind of like the. Who were the folks in, what was it, Cutthroats?
Yeah.
They had that fish emblem in Denver.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can have the Catfish Center, the Catfish Arena.
That.
You
it
like
sounds
that?
Sounds good, too.
All right. We've got a major event. Is this the annual event. Is this the second or third?
This is the second time we're hosting it.
Second time you're hosting
Before they started it shortly after, I think in 2005 or 2006, but they would just do it at the hotel or somewhere else here in town.
Tell us what it is, the official title for it, and of course the website people can go to it and any contact information you got on Saturday's event.
Prescott Memorial Stair Climb. So Prescott Memorial Stair Climb. And the website is Prescott911stairclimb.com.
And what does this represent? Why is this event being held?
Believe it or not, I know a little bit of the history. So back in 2005, after, of course, everybody knows about 9/11.
Well, let's go back. I want yeah. Obviously everybody knows this was a major – this is one of those – you know, it used to be for a certain generation it was Kennedy. Where were you when Kennedy was shot? And then the Berlin Wall coming down.
Yeah.
There are iconic events in everybody's history, and each generation has one. Of course, for my generation, my age group, there was a lot. You know, it could have been anything from, you know, Lenin being killed, but
Lenin, he was in your age group.
Yeah, John Lenin.
I thought the Russian dictator.
But but as an adult, as a you know, in my professional and personal life, as an adult, being you know, being grown,
huge
9/11. Everybody can relate, has a thought, a memory, some kind of connection to 9/11.
Yeah.
Now there is a whole new generation, probably your kids, trying to think of how old they were.
Yeah.
It's not as huge. They may not have a recollection of September 11th.
Right.
Some may not have been born. Some may have been kids that don't really have an association.
It's a chapter in a history book for them already.
Yeah. This is. Events like this are ways to instill in people's heads, never forget the lives that were lost on 9/11.
Well, it was the first major attack on our soil.
Yeah.
Right?
Events like this are ways to honor those lives, honor the dedication that first responders, specifically fire police, but there were folks, there were civilians that were lost in there, and that's represented in some numbers, the stairs, the lives lost. Go through some of that.
There's a lot of significance in this event, exactly what you said. First off, this is tied in with the healing fields. I don't know if you talked about the Healing Fields yet or not.
No, not at all. Let's.
I think they have 3,000 flags at the
Now,
Healing
that
Fields.
Was something Mary Mallory was took, right. took the and took Darlene the lead Packard in setting
and,
that up.
And quite a few people. Yeah, she did. 3,000 flags. Those flags basically represent most everybody that passed away at 9/11. Not just first responders or officers or anything like that. So that's a very significant.
The folks working part of it. In the towers.
Everybody affected. Yeah. I mean, everybody affected there. That was the count as close to it as we can and pay our respects to with the flags that we have in the space that we have here. So the stair climb that we're doing is basically to pay respects to the first responders. The magic number that we wanted to get of minimum participants, which we're far from it, unfortunately, we can talk about that a little bit too, is 343. There's 343 firefighters at that event that day that had lost their lives. Total of 424 people for this event is what they want to honor.
And
so we have 343 firefighters. There's 37 Port Authority police. There's 23 police officers, a couple paramedics. Then they've also put in the grand amount of 19 as a way of paying respects. So that's a way of tying Prescott into the event.
And that is with those – what was the number of firefighters again?
343.
343 firefighters that were lost in the 9/11 attack in New York. Mm-hmm. Again, and I kind of want to tie that in because the I was not aware of how close-knit the firefighter culture, the firefighter family is worldwide. I didn't realize the significance of that until I'm still learning that.
Yeah.
But in about 10 or 11 years or so ago, I moved out here from California into a small community in the Paulden Chino area and started working for one of the local newspapers out here, the Chino Valley Review.
Sure.
Part of my coverage was the fire and police departments, and I got a lot of contact with local firefighters, Rob Zazueta being one of them, the PIO for Chino Fire, and I started to learn how that fire culture was, and he explained a lot of that to me. And working with the firemen locally, covering their events, the incidents, not just the events like fires and accidents,
right.
but some of the fundraisers they did, their board meetings and stuff.
Right.
And it really instilled to me the closeness of that firefighter culture. And the appreciation of that grew as I got to know these guys personally.
That's a brotherhood.
And then with our Granite Mountain 19, the effect that firefighter culture, that family has on the surrounding community was really hammered home.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a little bit when you were with me on my radio show on KQ&A.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about that. And we'll get back to this event, the stair climb that's September 5th here at the Prescott Valley Event Center. But you, Catfish, played a role in the largest memorial service that this area has seen. Probably the state, maybe the nation, because the loss of our Granite Mountain 19 was – and I'm an idiot. I'm going to quote some wrong figures, so correct me.
I'm pretty sure it was the second largest loss of firefighters from one single event after 9/11.
Yeah. So
9/11 was the first.
And yeah.
The 19 was the second largest loss of life of officers.
We had here at the then called Tim's Toyota Center, but the Prescott Valley Event Center.
We did.
Soon after the June 30th, 2013, tragedy of the Granite Mountain 19. We had the memorial. I was here as an observer, but the community. I'm going to say we because it was the whole community did it.
For sure it's we. There's no.
I got the privilege to be one of the few journalists inside the building. Right. I mean, few.
That's because you know a guy.
Yeah, a guy. We had visitors representing firefighters. From across the world,
we had 216 agencies actually help us.
What were some of the ones that stuck in your head? There were some from Canada, I remember.
No, it was some from Canada. I mean, at the memorial itself, we actually had delegates here from overseas.
Yeah.
We had, I don't want to say who they were, but we had international like prime ministers and that sort of stuff here.
And actual firefighters. We had press from around the world. I was sitting next to a guy from Reuters. He was from France.
Right. Yeah.
And, of course, one of the speakers was Vice President Biden.
Yeah.
Who came. So that was a whole logistic thing of Secret Service and everything else.
And that was.
And I didn't know this ahead of time.
Sure.
But during the service, a very familiar voice came over the speakers as the bells were being rang.
That was me.
How did that come about?
You're going to make me cry, aren't you? Yeah. No, but I was very involved with that memorial. We had a concert here Sunday the 30th, and I was with the fire marshal at our concert. Fire marshal, for those of you who don't know, we always have a marshal on site for the bigger events, safety issue. So I was actually with him when he got the call, before it went public, before anything.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those uncertain moments that we just kind of – he and I both knew that there's no other place that this is going to be the place that we have to pay our respects to these guys. And right from that night up until I think July 5th was a memorial.
I
have to look at it. The 11th. Yeah. No, the 11th I think it was. I'm mixing everything.
I was going to say mixing everything because that month – following was just one big event.
It was gelled together.
I know my brain sometimes mixes updates and stuff from that because it was so overwhelming.
Yeah. Like many other people that were involved, I mean, there was a select handful that were sort of like at the top echelon making the decisions. And I was privy – I didn't make the decisions, but I was privy to be there from start to finish.
Yeah.
Because everything they did – translated right back into what we could provide our community and what we could do to help them. So I was there right from the initial call through the memorial.
Coordinating, making sure things were in place.
Doing everything I could as best I could for what they needed and what they asked. I mean, I had some few surreal moments where it was me and I can't mention the names, but a fellow from the White House. Sitting like you and I face to face, he's on the phone with the President of the United States talking, President Kefir says we can do this and that. And those are the moments like, oh, my gosh, I'm talking to the President of the United States.
Yeah.
I
got a chance to sit with Ted Leonard Prescott-Prosa
for
a podcast about the Secret Service getting in to the building. And in typical Ted Flair.
Ted Flair, he's not far off from that. I don't know what I can say and what I can't say. We knew the President or the Vice President was coming right away. And that wasn't a last-minute surprise. So we were behind the scenes dealing with all that.
Nothing on that scale. Well, I shouldn't say nothing. But events on that scale with those type of dignitaries, those type of names, aren't just thrown together. There are so many steps to make that happen.
You have no idea.
Yeah, it's amazing how –
You have no idea. Yeah. And they like to do things at 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. A lot of that's because the East Coast is awake at that time. So I literally got no sleep for however many 10 days or whatever it was from that day forward. I mean, I would go home and take a shower and come back, and that was about it. And I could have done that here, but I just needed that.
You needed the
brief moment of taking a shower in my own house.
Your brain decompress a little bit.
I mean, I was here till 3 or 4 in the morning, and then come right back at 5. You know, there's no more earlier than that, so it was continuous. But that was just one aspect of it. But through that event, and me being in the privileged position that I was, doing all those. As much as I could for everybody and all the different agencies, I almost became sort of a controlling person. Not controlling in that – I'm trying to find the right word for it, but a go-to guy, I guess.
Yeah.
Not controlling, but go-to. Like you come in, I just – there's surreal moments like away from the tragedy and the loss. Like the President was one of those moments that, you know, a year later I just realized, you know, oh my gosh, I was just sitting at the table talking. You know, I didn't even think about it at the time because it was all about honoring the guys.
Yeah.
And then –
in hindsight to step back.
Yeah,
and go, wow.
I had I can't even remember his name now. It was number two for Red Cross in the world.
Yeah.
Not in Arizona, not in the U.S., number two in the world. Calls me up on my cell phone. I was like, Catfish, is this so-and-so with the Red Cross? I'm like, yeah, great. How can I help you? You know, I just had so many. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I just had so many things to do. And he was like, as one of the surreal moments, too, he says, I got some water for you. And he says, where can I leave it? I said, well, how much do you have? He says, I have 18 semi-trucks. And I'm like, what? 18 semi-trucks of water. Like, oh, yeah, I need to call you back. You know, but those kind of moments.
We're not going to be able to put that on the loading dock out back.
No. So orchestrating that sort of stuff. And then that's just the logistics of the like I said, that's just water.
And then
water's on a scale that's
tens
unbelievable.
Tens of thousands of folks that were outside that didn't have access to the building.
We had all the security to deal with. Then we had
the network trucks, the satellite
The network
vans.
Trucks, safety, security, everything. Like I said,
the
water,
bonehead journalists that are asking for access.
I had to kick out some journalists. We had some people come in and actually tie up hidden cameras. In the arena, and so we had to confiscate those. And I mean, it was worldwide coverage.
Yeah,
it's pretty delicate stuff. So through all of that, didn't lose focus on that was logistics of an event. I bring up the water just because it just gives you an example of the scale,
the immense magnitude of
through
what
all
was
that
happening.
Working with the honor guard and the people, just like you said, that really became a brotherhood, and I felt like I was a brother, even though I'm not a firefighter. The honor guard for the United States, not for Yavapai County. Traditionally, if there's ever a firefighter death, it's a member of the honor guard that reads. Am I killing your time?
No, you're fine.
It's a member of the honor guard that reads the names of the fallen, and they gave me. He requested that I'd be the one to read the names as a way of saying thank you to me, I guess. And it was an honor.
What an honor.
I'll never forget. Yeah.
That portion of the ceremony, there was so much emotion running through all of our brains, our bodies, our hearts that day.
Yeah.
And like I said, the whole weeks and days following and surrounding.
Yeah.
That memorial in association with the death of the Granite Mountain 19 makes everything kind of blend. It was all fluid. Time was fluid down there because we were all up weird hours and covering different events. But
just did what you had to do.
That day here, that morning here, I forget what time. I think we had to go – we had to report. I think it was like 7:30 or so to get – the dogs sniffing through our bags and metal and all that stuff.
Those were long before you.
It was all kind of blended together. But certain portions of that ceremony, certain portions of that whole month really stand out.
Yeah.
The Prescott Strong down on the square.
Right.
The Dierks Bentley fundraising concert.
Yeah. Both of those I missed. I missed the Prescott Strong because I was involved with this.
Yeah.
And then Dierks Bentley I missed. that was I actually had my family vacation right when the memorial was, and everybody was waiting on me. And that's another story too. But after the memorial had finished on that day, like I literally fell asleep standing up. Like it was all the adrenaline, everything I had was done. I was useless. I wouldn't have been any help for Dierks Bentley anyway. And that was already – I had Scott. He was on vacation too. He wasn't here for the memorial. And then he came back, and so he took on the Dierks Bentley, and he's a concert and show guy, so that worked out perfect.
certain snippets in my memory really stand out.
Yeah.
And one of those was the reading of the names that you did. How did you get through that?
I didn't
get through it without breaking down, and I was sitting directly across from us under the flags over there.
It was really, really hard. I had tears. I'm all crying now, but I actually had tears coming down my eyes when I was doing it, and I had somebody flipping the pages. And
yeah, that was it. Was incredible.
Just, damn it, Matt, you made me cry.
But no, but again, it harkens back to what we're talking about for the fifth.
Yeah, it was really, really hard to do, but yeah. It was a job that needed to be done, and I had I didn't do it alone. I had somebody there with me helping turn the page and wipe the snot off my nose.
You did an excellent job, and when the entire arena was silent,
yeah.
It was incredible because I've been in here like this morning. Yeah. It's an empty arena and it's quiet. You can hear a pin drop.
6,500 people.
It was jam packed to the rafters.
Yep.
Tens of thousands of people outside.
Yeah.
And Matt Hinshaw, my buddy, who was outside for the courier, told me the same thing. It was surreal to see that many people and not hear anything. And in here, jam packed. Family, we could see the families down below in the first section. I was, of course, up with the journalists, who are not normally a quiet bunch anyway. But when the ceremony began, and that many people in one confined area,
yeah.
And the only sound you can hear was your voice and the ringing of that bell. Yeah. Your voice, the ringing of the bell. Was one of those moments where I had to sit back from my laptop and just take it in and think, this is, in one sense, a horrible tragedy, and in the other sense, a great example of a community, a town, a state, a whole country, and then with my international folks sitting on either side of me, the entire world coming together to honor and remember individuals.
Yeah.
So in the entire world coming together to remember and honor 19 folks who were our neighbors, our friends, our folks.
We had the chief of the honor guard there for the United States, and he kept on reminding us that every single meeting, every single day, that, you know, let's not worry about the theatrics of things. I mean, it still has to be safe and has to be done, but we're here to honor those guys, and that was the biggest part. And that was a surreal moment for sure, and I never saw the video. I never even watched the broadcast. I mean, I was there, obviously, but
Have you seen it since?
I have a copy on my desk. I haven't watched it. Yeah. I haven't heard myself.
So, interesting.
Yeah. I have the script, too. I kept all the stuff. I have a script and everything from it. And
I've covered some pretty major events over the years. One that sticks out, in addition to this, was in 1989, I was a freelancer, a stringer for a local paper in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And I was dying to get to the Bay Bridge series, the Giants and the A's playing in the World Series. And I was so far down on the totem pole, it was they laughed when I asked my editor, hey, can I get it? No, you're not going. Not at all. But everybody else did. The entire other staff did. And they're handing out passes from, photographers from Japan, Germany. You're not getting – you, guy that drives around listening to a scanner from Hayward Calvin, you're not going. Sorry. But he did say let me tell you, anything else comes up, you're the first guy we call. Like, what else is going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, the Loma Prieta quake hits. I get to the Cypress structure just before the fire trucks did.
Oh, gosh.
I'm watching them pull bodies out. I got photographs of them using an AC Transit bus as a rolling morgue for these folks they're pulling out of there.
Right.
International news. Yeah. The World Series, of course, stopped. The coverage now shifted to the fires, the collapse of the Bay Bridge section, the collapse of the Cypress structure where I was, fires popping up all over the Bay Area, accidents, all this. There's a 1989. To this day, I've had people tell me, hey, every in October they run the anniversary of it every once in a while.
Sure.
And the 10-year, the 20-year popped up, and they've had a couple of new things. Hey, I saw you, and I can't watch those shows. There's a couple of there's a 30 for 30 on Netflix now. ESPN did on that, and I started to watch it a few months ago, and I couldn't. I can't. Yeah. It was just too. It was overwhelming. So
it is,
and I wasn't even part of it. I just happened to be there. One of the thousands and thousands of people who were there,
right.
And I can't watch it. I hadn't thought about that with you. If you've seen that, and you
no, I
too overwhelming or
tried like heck to get the DVD of it. No, I don't know. You know,
interesting. I hadn't thought of that before.
I have it. You know, I figure I'll give it to my kids and pass it on, and they can show it in classroom or something someday. I haven't watched it though.
Well. And let's tie it in, because this event on this Saturday, September 5th, is to honor not just the 19, but they're absorbed into this.
Yeah.
So, but on a much greater scale, those 343 firefighters who were lost at the World Trade Center.
Well, what a lot of people don't know, for one, Tom Haney and Janine Haney. You met Janine this morning, so they are part of the team that was, emotional support and fire support for the families, the 19. They were essentially a family liaison, so I worked a lot with them at the memorial, setting up services and things like that. That was they were the go-to for the personal family issues of each individual family versus the entire event, you know what I mean? So became good friends with them. I became decent friends with everybody in that event, and so Tom and Janine approached me about this event.
Tom
so
is with what org?
The Mayor Fire Department.
Mayor Fire.
Yeah.
And run through some of these numbers again, what they represent.
Well, the other thing here a lot of people don't know is, like you talked about, the brotherhood and everything. As we made a big full circle going around. But Fire Department, the guys in New York, FDNY, we had a group of them out here for the memorial as well, doing everything they can to help us out. But the families of these folks stepped up and actually helped generate money and got money for Prescott to help our folks. And a lot of people don't know that. So Tom's major influence, let's say, to get involved and help the 9/11 was not only to pay respects, but also to pay it forward, to give back what they gave us.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got involved with it. But 343 firefighters, and oddly enough, the two or three guys from the White House and names I can't name were the same individuals that came out for the 19 that did this.
Yeah.
So there's a very close tie.
And what's going to happen on Saturday, September 5th?
Well, one of the hardest parts that we just discovered this morning is we're not going to have that many firefighters participate.
But what's going to be going on? What's the stair climb?
Okay, so
and then we'll talk about why we need more folks here for sure.
So the stair climb is basically a chance to honor and to memorialize the firefighters that had passed away at that event. There's two different things. There's 110 flights of stories or stairs. That was the height of the World Trade Center where the plane hit, and they had firefighters go all the way up to the 110th.
And so what's symbolized here with the stair climb is those firefighters who had to, obviously, in the event of an emergency, don't use the elevator.
They had to climb the
stairs. We've all heard that. We've all seen it on the little plaques in the in elevators that we've gone into our whole lives. So when those planes struck the World Trade Center, these firefighters in full turnout gear walked
75 to 100 pounds of
up
gear.
Those 110 flights of stairs
they went in
to do what they could to help folks get down.
That's right. Yep.
And so that's why you're asking folks to come in here and symbolize those steps by walking the steps of the Prescott Valley Event Center.
Yeah. That the stair climb actually came out of a couple of years after 9/11. Some firefighters in Colorado got together and just did it as a way of themselves. They didn't make a big event out of it, and just they found a tall building out there and they did their 110 stories and, you know, it just puts things in perspective. You realize,
yeah,
you know, how tiring that is to walk 110 stories.
Yeah, wearing tennis shoes and a t-shirt and some jogging shorts. Yeah,
turnouts and then you carry 75 pounds or 100 pounds of gear.
Yeah. Oxygen, helmet.
Everything.
Masks.
Yeah. So that's where that number came from.
Yeah.
And then obviously for safety reasons down here, we know not everybody who can participate can do the stairs.
I was telling you, when I walked in today with my camera bag and recording gear and took the elevator up, I got tired looking at those stairs. So
it can be, it's definitely doable.
Yeah.
We kind of did some math on it, and the National Fallen Firefighters did too. So we came out with 1.9 miles or 1.9K. And so that's basically 11 laps around the floor of the hockey rink here, around the dashboards. So we have that option as well. So everybody can participate. Even if you can't do stairs, you can push a wheelchair or a stroller or something like that down below and walk that same distance.
And this is year two, you said?
This is the second year here.
The second year. Last year, the participants included a lot of local firefighters, a lot of first responders. Yep. And in our conversation before we turned the mics on with, and again, let's Janine. Plug, who are the organizers again?
Janine.
Janine and her husband, Tom.
Yeah.
And then the gal that was with them as well are helping organize this. They did not want to. We tried to get them to speak on mic, and they as they eloquently put it, threw you under the bus and said, Catfish will be happy to talk.
Yeah, of course.
And, of course, I'm always happy to talk to Catfish. We've worked together over the years. But
for everything, my gosh.
The participants have been members of the public, folks who support local firefighters and first responders, but the core group – traditionally are going back from the first organizers of this on a grassroots level in Colorado, as you said.
Firefighters.
We're firefighters.
Yep.
There's events like this all over the country to honor those fallen firefighters from 9/11. The Prescott one has been, like all of them, supported mainly by firefighters. That's not the case this year.
Right.
Not because they said, no, there's a good game on TV and I want to watch it. Or there's this. Why is it so crucial now that we get outside help to support this event?
Well, one of the biggest things, like you said, is the firefighters that participate in this event.
Where are they? What are they, all on the beach, on vacation? What are they
doing?
Vacation.
No, they've all gotten called out. Tom himself got called out this morning, couldn't.
He's in Montana.
Right.
A lot of the Chino guys that I know are either in California and there's another one. There's several, but this is the heart of the fire season. With spring rains and in Arizona, monsoons, but with the dry season elsewhere in the country, lightning strikes are causing fires. Negligent campers are causing fires. There's lots of reasons fires are going on, but this is the heart of the fire season, wildfire season.
Wildfires are going like crazy.
So our local guys are hopping in their trucks and going across the country to assist other communities in protecting life and property structure and property.
So then the few that are not going have to stay here for our needs.
To make sure we're protected.
Yeah. And so they're under restricted guidelines. So, I mean, they can't go out and participate. Everything's got to be on the ready, and they have to be on the ready.
So jump on your soapbox, Catfish. Put out the call. Let's get our local folks to lace up their walking shoes. Give us your commercial.
Well, we need participants. One of the most respectful things of this event is we have 343 name badges. So everybody that participates will carry a fallen firefighter with you.
On a lanyard, if I understood correctly, as you guys were talking this morning?
Years past, they had a picture of the guy. They decided not to do the picture, just to name it a little bio. I think the picture was too hard for some people.
Yeah.
But when
literally put a name to a number.
Yep.
each name that is on one of those lanyards that will be carried up and down these stairs is the name of one of those 343 who
yes.
who was lost.
Yeah, and even though last year we didn't have 343 either, we a similar situation. Some of the guys that did come took 60, 70 names with them. Carried them around the neck, so additional weight besides their turnout to carry all that stuff with them. I had some friends come up from Phoenix and different places as well, and those same names can be found out in the healing fields. So, like the one gal told me afterwards that she was quite moved about it because she carried a certain individual, and then after the event they went out to the healing field and found his flag out there too. So they took it really personal.
Yeah,
but it's not just about running steps and a workout. It's not a 10K race. It's not about who's faster than who. It's not about a, you know, let me see if I can run 110 steps. It's about honoring those 343. And
to participate in some way, and at the same time with each step, each little deep breath and right. beat of sweat is to remind you that these lives were lost.
They are. Scott making fun of us through the window.
Keep it up, Scott. We'll make you get on mic.
But the that's really, I mean, again, it's all about honoring the guys. So the initial registration price was $40. That was not set by the folks here in Prescott. It's a National Fallen Firefighters Association. That price was set by those in Washington, D.C. I know that's a hard number, especially in this area, to pay to participate. And we're very grateful for those that have. You're going to get a T-shirt and some other merchandise that goes with that. But really, ultimately, we want to honor these guys.
Yeah.
So if anybody's listening out there, besides Matt and myself.
I don't listen to the show.
Just come out. You know, if you can make the event, great. If you can participate, just talk to the registration table. Maybe we can do a donation only.
Yeah.
Whatever you're comfortable with. I think the bottom line is that we get people to participate and represent these
Aside from a bunch of stairs in this building, mm-hmm. there's a chair or two that we're looking out and seeing there.
Yeah.
Even if you want to come out and cheer on the folks that are climbing these stairs.
100%.
Take an opportunity to come out with your families and give them some vocal and applause support as they do this. So again, let's plug this. Give a website, time, date.
Yeah.
How do folks know
Prescott
about this?
Prescott Stair Climb, September 5th. That's this Saturday. And the website is Prescott911StairClimb.com. Prescott911StairClimb.com. That's all the information you need. If you can't find it there, just check out the Event Center, PrescottValleyEventCenter.com.
And we are right here at on Main Street in Prescott Valley, directly across from the Prescott Valley Event Center, or Entertainment District, the Ed, Prescott Valley Ed, they call it, near the Harkins Theater, Glassford and Florentine and 69, Highway 69.
Well, this year it's going to be all tied together with the healing fields. So they're going to start off at 9 o'clock at the Civic Center right down the street.
Right there by the big library and all that good stuff over there down the road.
Do their dedication of the healing fields, a couple prayers. That's for everybody. And then from the healing fields, we're going to do a procession into the arena. And then from that, well, about another 45 minutes so people can get settled and get signed up. And then we'll start the stair climb at that point.
All right. So check them out. Come on by and
You definitely need to participate if you can.
Yeah.
Even if you can't walk the whole thing, if you can walk a couple laps on the ground, you know, whatever you can do to help us carry some of the fallen guys.
What is it about firefighters specifically that people love and that kids love? And we were talking about other first responders. Police don't always get it.
No, they don't.
In our area,
everybody puts themselves.
I'm glad to say, in our area, I'm glad to say people still like to wave at the cops when they drive by. Doesn't happen everywhere. Doesn't happen across the country. But I remember as a little kid, we lived in a suburb, in a bigger area, bigger metro area.
Yeah.
There was a fire station down the street, right in between a couple of houses. That's where the fire station was. Now back then, way back when I was a kid. in the Flintstone days, the fire trucks would go by and firefighters would stand on that back platform. They used to do that.
Yeah.
They didn't have roofs. The guy sitting in the truck, you could see and wave.
Right.
Everybody waved at the firemen.
Right.
It was a big deal when you saw a fire truck. Yeah. And the guys live in the fire stations. That's traditionally the duty that
shifts. Yeah.
Yeah. So they would take, you know, they would go do their grocery shopping. And when you'd go into the Safeway or the local store and you saw a fire truck, you'd always look for them. Yeah. My son does that now. He's 5 years old. And they're his fire guys. He knows a lot of them by name and by face.
That's funny.
And that's his truck when they drive by.
Yeah.
What is it about firemen that everything from little kids who want to be firemen to bigger kids who have the calendars on their wall?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a U.S. thing or international. You know, it's almost.
I think it's international. It's just firemen are.
It's just almost like military. I mean, they're here to protect and serve, kind of thing, and. They're always there to save you. You know?
Something about the fireman, though. That's what it's just something that every kid loves a fireman.
Mystique.
I get a kick out of it whenever I have to go to the fire station for something. I always make a point to walk through and check them out, say hi, shake a hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about a fire truck.
Well, after doing all these events, I feel like a brother. They treat me like one, and it's pretty cool.
Well, I got I've got a few. I don't have a lot of them, and I don't like toot my own horn. But I've got a couple of awards that I've gotten for photos and for journalism things over the years. And a couple of them are on boxes and on a bookshelf. Yeah. There's one thing that I got and I'll have to refresh myself and look at it. It was in, I believe, 2012. I got an award from the Chino Fire District.
Oh, nice.
As a citizens award that they give out every year, and I was the recipient of it. Nice. That one is one award that I have proudly displayed in my office. Some of them are some of the other things I got are saved. They're tucked away in boxes, but that's one that is proudly displayed in my office.
And we got
and I actually dust it off.
I got out of like my office. We got recognized too. And I'm told it's the second highest, other than giving your life, award that a civilian can receive.
Nice.
From the fire department.
Nice.
And there's, I think, 8 handed out, and Gary and I have 2 of them.
Cool.
In the history.
Well, so
something like that's pretty cool, but it's
come on out September 5th, this Saturday, a few days from now, and show your support financially if possible, physically if you're able, and if not, just come out and cheer on those folks that
this
are.
And this is part of Patriot Week, so Prescott Valley is really stepping up, and this is one event of 3 or 4 more. Doing the same to respect these guys.
So, and then on a lighter note, as we established with our chat with Gary Spiker, contrary to the rumor mill, the Prescott Valley Event Center is open for business. They've got a full
the Catfish Center.
Asked you once before. I'm going to bring it up again. The M. Santos Memorial Press Box. I'm still waiting for the plaque up there. By just memorial, but
you're alive.
It's kind of iffy. It's iffy.
Only business is dead.
Right? You never know from one minute to the next whether I'm gonna be able to get up off the couch or not.
The Santos Press.
We need to have that press box renamed. I could that could be my legacy. But no, come on out, check out the Prescott Valley Event Center. What's your website?
PrescottValleyEventCenter.com
for a full listing of events. You've got a full schedule, or stop on by, ride the elevator, because there's a notice in the elevator. That's where I saw it. We've got lots of high school events coming up.
Some great community events.
The health fair is coming up. You got some gun shows that come here pretty regular.
We got a dog show.
The dog show.
And we've got things that are inside and outside. Yeah. So the gun show is paired up with a motorcycle rally outside. Maybe we're going to have dirt bikes out here doing a full-on motocross kind of stuff.
Cool.
So we're very busy.
I will link that website, the September 5th Stairwalk website to this show. But like we mentioned with our conversation with Gary Spiker as well, the best way you can guarantee good events and entertaining events at this center is to come out and support the events that are at the center.
That's it.
People aren't going to come. Organizations, teams, clubs, concerts, groups will not come and invest in a spot that nobody's supporting. So
hockey teams too.
Come show. Well, what do you got? Gary wouldn't commit. What do we got? Got anything you can say?
I got nothing
I
can say.
No scoops that we can.
No, we all want one, and we're all trying.
Yeah.
We're all trying.
I know my son's looking for it. He wants to come out and watch the guys.
Well, we need
the
support.
Guys skate. So
we definitely need support.
Come out, find an event. The circus is coming up. Globetrotters every year are out here.
Yeah,
there's a lot of fun stuff happening, continuing to happen even in the newly announced reorganization of this arena. There's a lot of fun stuff happening.
Bridal show this month.
Bridal shows.
For your hope chest.
So come on out and look at the photographers that shoot weddings. I hate weddings. I almost enjoyed my wedding.
Almost.
There was a lot of family there, so I couldn't enjoy it too much. All right, Catfish, thanks. Appreciate your time.
All right.
And come on out this Saturday for the Prescott stair climb, and remember those that gave all. Thanks, Kat.
You're welcome.
My life.